Well, I have some good news and some bad news for you. The good news concerning your gifts tomorrow is if you receive them, somebody loves you. Somebody loves you enough to buy you a gift and share that love with you. The bad news is that if you receive a gift, whatever that gift will be, it will not last. Whatever gift you receive tomorrow will rust, it will corrode, it will tarnish. Whatever gift you receive will spoil, it'll stain, or it'll be consumed. The toy you receive, you will grow weary of. The clothes you receive will fade. That golf club will rust. Let's be honest, it was not the problem with your game anyway. Your book will fall apart. Your tool will fail. That Hickory Farms gift pack will spoil. Gifts are wonderful. And we are thankful to God for them. We're thankful that our loved ones remember us. Yet there are some gifts that our family and our friends cannot give. For each of us has a deep spiritual need. No person, no possession can satisfy that. God alone possesses that gift. He alone can give what we need at those deepest levels. It is in Him that these needs are met. And tonight we're going to get a glimpse of these gifts He gives. In that text Don read, Luke 1, 39 to 45. We encounter two mothers. We encounter two miraculous conceptions in their wombs. And tonight we will encounter two blessings from God in the lives of those where Christ is present. We'll see that joy is a blessing from God. And we will also see that trust is a blessing from God. The first two verses set the scene, verse 39 and 40. This morning we absorb the announcement given to Mary that she would conceive the Messiah. Verse 39 picks up with that account. It's what Mary does next after receiving that news. It says, at this time, she travels to Elizabeth's. Mary was excited about what God was doing. She packed her bags. She wore her shawl. She strapped her sandals. She was out the door faster than the Starship Enterprise at warp speed. There was an eagerness and an earnestness and an enthusiasm about what God was doing. Mary's journey would have taken approximately 3 days. She journeyed from Nazareth to some hillsides outside of Jerusalem. And it was there that she knocked on the door of Elizabeth. We pick up with our first point this evening, and we see that God gives joy. Mary was joyful. Elizabeth was joyful. Joy is a blessing from God. God's joy is felt. The Bible teaches us that joy is produced deep within us by God's Holy Spirit. He produces it as we see the beauty of God around us. And as we live lives obedient to Jesus Christ, there's a joy in our hearts. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Already in verse 43, Jesus, still in the womb of Mary, she calls him Lord. She joyfully exclaims. She felt joy when she heard Mary's greeting. That joy was produced by the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, to be sure, the filling of the Holy Spirit was unique in this time, in this era in which she lived. God's Spirit would come upon people for special service. In the Old Testament, King David was filled with the Holy Spirit when he was anointed king. A little later in Luke 1, Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, will be filled with the Holy Spirit as he predicts the baby's ministry. Now, in our day, all who believe upon Christ are immediately and permanently filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. In fact, Romans 8:9 teaches, if anyone does not have the Spirit, he is not of God. So where the Spirit is, there is salvation. And where there is salvation, there is joy. The Spirit is also in Elizabeth's baby, John. Earlier in Luke 1, verse 15, it's predicted that John will be filled with the Spirit, even while in the womb. And at Mary's voice, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. This baby, by the way, is John the Baptist. As a messenger goes before a king, so too did John go before Jesus to pave the way, to herald the Messiah. Indeed, even here in our account tonight, he announces the Messiah's arrival when Mary walks in the door. Incidentally, I asked my wife what it feels like when a baby kicks inside the womb, and she wound up as hard as she... No, she didn't do that. She described it as something like twitches or butterflies, something to that effect. And I'm thinking, if a normal baby is twitches and butterflies, John the Baptist had to be something closer to a roadrunner. In fact, this word leaps in other Greek literature is used of animals when they write of animals back in this time. So that must have been some kick that John let out when he heard the voice of Jesus. All that to say is that joy in the presence of Jesus produces a reaction. That's what the joy of the Lord does. There's a feeling. There's an emotion. There's some kind of activity taking place in the life of the believer. This joy then is communicated. We cannot just keep it in. It shows. It's communicated. We let it out. With a loud voice, Elizabeth cried out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." To bless someone is to praise them, to commend them. So often in Jewish culture, a woman's greatness was connected to the greatness of her child. And Elizabeth made that observation. If she bears the Messiah who is great, how great is this woman, his mother? Well, Mary was just an ordinary person. She wasn't sinless. She wasn't a queen, but Elizabeth celebrated what God was doing in her life. And this joy could not be contained. Again, it overflowed into praise unto Mary, unto God. And the joy of the Lord does this, does it not? A grizzled, cranky Christian is a contradiction of terms. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Nobody sings that way. That worship is not amazing. God does not see that as amazing worship. Where God's joy is present, there is a worshipfulness in our song. And that's what Elizabeth experienced. Her joy came bubbling out. She asked, "How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" Let me tell you, when Jesus Christ comes to you, it is a gift. A receptive heart opens this gift. A receptive heart keeps this gift. It recognizes that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the authority. If the soul is a continent, Jesus rules every acre. Though not yet born, Elizabeth joyfully celebrates her Messiah and her Lord. And the Holy Spirit gave her this joyful exclamation. 1 Corinthians 12:3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord rings out among God's people. It was the spring in the early 1800s in Austria, and one of Napoleon's armies, an army of 18,000, appeared right outside this little town. Defenseless, they were ready to surrender, and the officials decided, we're just going to carry on with our Easter celebration as usual. We'll let God sort out the rest. Well, as they worshiped, they rang their church bells in celebration of the holiday. And Napoleon's men outside thought this meant Austrian reinforcements were on the way. And by the time those services ended that day, Napoleon's army had vanished. Before the bells stopped ringing, the soldiers were gone. Christians have duplicated this in their lives time and time again. In the face of sorrow and suffering and trials, they've rung the bells of joy. And God gives his people joy. And I want all of you to experience the joy of Jesus Christ tonight. I don't want you to leave here experiencing another night of sadness or sorrow. I want you to know the Lord and to understand his joy, to receive that joy. In the presence of Christ, there is fullness of joy, the psalmist writes. In his right hand, there are pleasures forever. Well, God blesses his people with joy. And as we mentioned, he also blesses his people with trust. Trust or faith is a gift from God, and he gives that as well. To trust God is to believe in his promises. The Bible teaches much about trust. Hebrews 11:1 states that faith is the assurance of things not yet seen. It's the hope of things to come. James 2 teaches that faith is seen in our works. You can see the fruit of one's faith as you watch their life. And Ephesians 2:8 declares outrightly that faith is a gift from God. For by grace you have been saved through faith that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. So God gives us a faith. God gives us a trust. And this trust in God is seen. Mary trusted God, and it showed. Just consider the event so far. This Virgin Mary believed she would conceive. She took God at his word. She believed that barren Elizabeth was already pregnant when Gabriel the angel shared that with her. Mary acted upon this faith. She departed from her home. She traveled 90 miles. She did all this enduring an early pregnancy. Mary believed God, and it showed. Her faith, our faith, positively impacts our relationships. Mary's faith was a great encouragement to Elizabeth. And the Bible calls this fellowship. Biblical fellowship is a sharing together. It's a sharing of our gifts, of our resources, of our talents, of our money, of our hurts, of our joys. The Holy Spirit bonds us together. He bonds believers together. He bonded Mary and Elizabeth together. Don't miss what happened here. Mary was just a teenager, 13, 14, maybe 15. She's just discovering life. Elizabeth was a grandmother. She was barren. She was on her way out into the next life. But their shared faith The presence of the Spirit brought them together. They had a common bond we call fellowship. Fellowship is such a refreshing means of grace. If you're a believer and you're involved in a church, you understand this. We need one another. Other people need us. And God connects us through fellowship. How sad it would be to simply come to church on a Sunday, to sit here, and then leave again. Being uninvolved in the lives of other people, being disobedient to God's call to fellowship. What a forfeiture. Fellowship is a relationship. It's a relationship with God. As in turn, it's a relationship with those God loves. Christ unites believers. Indeed, Christ unites generations of people. And when true faith is put into practice, it goes a long, long way in helping others. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, Proverbs 27:17, that drives at the heart of fellowship. So it is with us, and so it was with Mary. This faith put into action looked like fellowship. They were involved in one another's lives. And I want us to see finally that this faith in God, this trust, is necessary. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Elizabeth speaks of Mary. Mary needed to trust God. How else is she going to do this? The stigma of a young, unwed, pregnant mother. She lived in the midst of a staunch Jewish legalism. Faith in God is necessary. You and I need to trust God as well. In fact, there's no other way to get to heaven unless we trust God. To trust God is to confess, yes, I am a sinner. It is to repent, to say, I am turning from my sin. It is to believe that Jesus Christ satisfies that penalty. We make him Lord of our lives, as Elizabeth did. If you do this, you have begun to receive the great blessing of God. This great gift that only God can give. The Lord right now offers you joy. He offers you the gift of faith if you will receive it. Back in the Old Testament, there's a story about King David. It was in the days while he was on the run. King David would come to be established as the great king of Israel. But before that, he was certainly a man on the run. The story takes place, he's holed up in a cave somewhere, and the Philistine army, his enemies, are basically waiting for him to come out. And he makes this remark. He says, oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem. Bethlehem being his hometown, something sweet about hometown water. It's about 25 miles away from where he's hiding. The text goes on to say, the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines. They drew water from the well of Bethlehem and took it and brought it to David. What a gift! What an incredible gift! Based on what they went through, based on what David needed. I'm asking you tonight, are you blessed by God? Do you receive the gift that God gives? I'm not asking you if there's presents loaded under your tree. I'm not asking you if your house is decked out in decorations. And I don't want to know if your fridge is full of food. I want to know if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. God gives Jesus to us. It's the greatest gift, and it fills our deepest need. Do you see what God went through to bless you? Are you willing to receive his blessing of trust, his gift of joy? Tomorrow, we may open many gifts, but I pray the gift God gives in Christ would outshine them all. Let me bow in a word of prayer.